Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, and welcome to the 97th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp. I'm joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. Joining us for the third time, we have the Control Master, Sander. Sander, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Excited to talk about the newest Scarlet Violet sets.
I'm excited that you said yes. And joining us based off of popular demand on the Twitter post, we have the one and only Jake Gearhart. Jake, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming back as well. So both of you were heavily requested on the Twitter. Be sure to follow the Twitter at Lake of Rage Pod if you would like, say, in guests or questions or anything like that, because both of your names came up multiple times from multiple people. And I think I'm going to say why I think everyone said it, even though, you know, we don't know for sure, is both of you have a way of looking at the game that is incredibly different from everyone else. Most people look at the game like I do, where it's like, all right, this card is good. You know, Eternatus and Crobat make a deck, right? Mew and Genesect make a deck. And you both look at cards and you're like, oh, there's weaknesses in this. I can beat that. And so I think you have some interesting points of view on the card game. So we're going to talk about some Scarlet Violet stuff. We're going to talk about the big stuff, the Guardians, the Mariodons, etc. We're going to give you a little bit of chance to talk about some stuff that might be slept on or stuff that has future potential. And then we'll take some questions from Twitter as well. Be sure to follow at Lake of Rage Pod if you would like to ask questions in the future as well. So first and foremost, I think we just have to jump into the big card. I mentioned, you know, Eternatus plus Crobat makes a deck. Mew and Genesect makes a deck. Guardi EX is very clearly meant to be the deck from the set. At least I think it is, because it seems absolutely broken. Is Guardi broken? Is this card as good as it looks? Is this an actual deck? Does it become a tech in the field? Like, how is Guardi EX? Jake, you've been the one who's kind of been championing Guardi. Can you kind of start? What's your thoughts on Guardi as a card?
Sure. I think at least just going by results, we know it can't be that awful because it's getting around like 12% meta share in Japan, and it's making it into day two or like top 16 at 12% as well. It's kind of holding, so that's a good sign for a deck. And I think it definitely gets better in best of three because as sort of the Mirage Step water duplicates curse is that the deck is very inconsistent at times. But if it sets up, like it wins in two attacks versus a lot of decks, which is pretty ridiculous. Because you use the one prize Gardevoir to do 330 damage to something, and then Zacian V with the Sky Stone. That usually is enough to win in two or three attacks against a lot of decks. So really the only issue with Gardevoir being as strong is sort of the lost box matchups, really. It doesn't have a great way of dealing with Sableye. It's got Cresselia, but they can try and play around that a little more than you can use it against them. So I think if someone solves the lost box matchup for Gardevoir, then it's really going to be possibly the best deck, if there's some answer to it that hasn't been found yet. But as it is, I think it's like a really solid tier two at least deck.
Sander, what are your thoughts when you read Guardi?
It's pretty ridiculous ability. I always liked when they at least like make cards that aren't like exact reprints of older cards. So in that aspect, it's pretty cool that you actually get like all your energies back infinitely. I mean, you're limited by your HP, of course, because it does damage you. Pretty overpushed card. I think this is also kind of what they need to do to make a stage two good, like if it's such a ridiculous ability. it's like very extremely setup reliant, mm-hmm. I guess. So in that aspect, yeah, there's definitely, you can get punished by Bullsmine, Kuridas have pretty low HP. I've played actually a surprisingly high amount of Curlia Gardevoir engines, even in this format. It's definitely very strong. Pretty the Curlias and the Rods, and you don't you would, especially since you have Level Ball, it looks like there's a lot of what can go wrong, and that's of course true, but I actually think the engine, besides the fact that it's very weak to save wise, pretty good. And is it actually going to be strong enough to kind of compete with Lost Sandbox? I think it's, I guess, kind of hard to tell. People play the Cresselia, some healing cards, the Jelly to heal. I don't know. It's, I wouldn't be too sure. I think the fact that they get a Dark Witness is also, first of all, kind of strange, and second of all, kind of makes it difficult to use the Guardi EX itself since Drapion is in the format, and Flashgate Lost and Books can just one-shot it. I think that's kind of also unfortunate. It would be great if you can actually also play into Lost Zone and tank a hit somehow, but that's kind of difficult.
So it seems like we're both in kind of that same, and this is exactly where I would co-sign as well, though. Guardi is very clearly good, but there's so many questions of, can it fit into a meta? Are we ready for a stage two to exist as a card?
I think really the issue isn't that it's a stage two deck. It's that it's a double stage two deck, mm-hmm. Which is like setting up one stage two isn't that difficult, especially when we have cards like Arvin, which we'll get to talk about later. Basically, there's a lot of ways you can get a rare candy and a stage two in your hand, but getting like two stage twos in play is a lot more to ask for, and the deck like doesn't really do all that much until you get both in play, so you're kind of just surviving the early game rather than putting on pressure, but the upside is like how much pressure you put on the mid and late game is kind of ridiculous, like Sander mentioned. I think there's a quote, like one of the game designers, mm-hmm. at like the Aichi Champions League thing. I think he was saying that they put a lot of time into the design of Gardevoir, and they made it really with the idea that it wanted to be an effect that had never been seen before, that could be combined with cards from the Sword and Shield era and the Scarlet and Violet era, which is definitely true. So I'm happy that they're not going the black and white game design route of we should let the new players win against the older ones without any effort, or however that article was worded.
Mm-hmm. You flip on every strong effect.
Yeah.
It's fair. Doesn't matter. Just flip heads and then you will probably win.
Yeah.
I mean, those cards are still around, to be fair. Yeah, hey, Guardi seems pretty cool. Yeah, the Gardevoir that draws to it, looks at the top two, and then if there's an energy, you can attach it and you draw to that one. Is like, I almost think that one is even, I mean, the EX is obviously broken, but that Gardevoir is like a super strong card.
Yeah, we've seen the Shining Arcana Gardevoir played with Shining like Arcana. Kyogre, Celebrations Kyogre in some lists. Because, you know, you have Refinement to deck yourself out, and then you go like Recycler, Shining Arcana, the water energies to the Kyogre, and then you can Kyogre, and it's a really cool line.
I've actually tested that deck. Like I started testing, basically I started testing post-rotation, like, cause I had a couple of people I knew who were in Japan and playing for tournaments. So I started testing like really early. Mm-hmm. And that sort of like Kyogre Gardevoir thing was something like in Palkia. I started testing like right away, and I realized that it could actually like work in standard right now. But it's like close to being good, but it's like Lost Box is the problem as always. But that, like, I think once we get like, it's really good right now because you have a Ranguru to put the like energy on top, so mm-hmm. you can accelerate it to
yeah
but matters. I think the next set, like, and another thing that is really important for it is having like item-based Pokemon recovery. Because you don't want to play like two Kyogres in your deck. You just want to recycle one if you have to refinement it away. So I think like maybe that's something to watch out more for next set, once we get Super Rod back. And also that there's a reason to put switching cups in your deck with Iono. You can switch in cups energy on top and then accelerate it. And but yeah, that end game is super cool, where you have like zero cards in your deck. You recycler back five waters, Shining Arcana two onto a Kyogre, play another recycler, and hit for 250 twice. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. 500 damage in one turn is quite good. Actually, looked into a couple like those Exodia type of decks with the Gardevoir Gardevoir engine. You can do the whole Kyogre thing, because Mewtwo Feed Union with Gengar kind of worked. It was the exact same thing, right? You just draw your deck and then you bench two Ghastlies and you Feed Union. You kind of are good to sweep. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's, I mean, the Gardevoir just makes the most sense because you evolve from the same Kyogre as your engine. So it kind of, made it in a way that's probably just using Gardevoir EX is the best like late game thing you can do. I wonder if there are any other things. Like, I looked into, I guess a bit, because with the Gardevoir, with the Shining Arcana acceleration, I guess we do lose Oranguru, so it becomes a bit worse. The fact that you can also like kind of charge an attacker in one turn is also pretty interesting, and it works with any basic energies.
Yo, Pika V Union?
This is actually the card that I did try. Pikachu V Union. Because you can double lightning to it and you item lock, so it's actually really strong against Lost in Box to item lock then. And you're not bound to a supporter, you can Roxanne item lock them. It's actually, but then you don't have any healing, they can just two shot it. Kind of sucks. There's no. I mean, I guess you have the new healing stage two that just bill heals. You just draw your deck and then you V Union, charge it in one turn, Roxanne them, and you bench the basic that you can candy into the full heal. I don't know the name of it.
Arbeliva. I was gonna bring that up like later as one of the things to watch. Like, if they ever printed Arbeliva EX, then that card's like gonna be ridiculously good. But yeah, that's a good point. You can heal the V Unions. We tested like some like Regigigas V Star, because you can like use the V Star power to discard Manaphy and then Kyogre, and it's like an okay early game attacker as well. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things you can do with the sort of like more checkmatey Gardevoir engine stuff. But I'll be interesting to see if that goes anywhere.
Yeah, the problem remains that all of it is cool until your opponent does turn three Lost Mine, and then you're just sitting there with your Kyogre and everything kind of can fall apart a bit too easily. So that, I guess it's not really related to this set in specific, but is Sableye an actual problem or is it fine? I even though Sableye kind of, it definitely gatekeeps a lot of decks, I do think it's, I don't actually dislike Sableye that much, even though it's like a huge problem card for a lot of decks that I would otherwise play.
Yeah,
what's the opinion on Sableye?
I've actually said that, like, I think everyone talks about banning Lugia or something, but I think the card that would actually change the format, like, for the better, maybe, would be banning Sableye, because, like, you should see, I'll end up posting this at some point, but the list of decks that I've tested that are, like, this is good against Lugia, good against, like, everything else, but just has no chance against Sableye, it's kind of ridiculous. I think if Sableye had like some restriction that like it could only be used after your opponent took a prize card or something like that, then it'd be much, much cooler to play around. Like lower the number of cards it requires in the loss zone, but just make it so that your opponent has to take a prize card or something, because then you can like just sit back and build your engine up. Because just the problem is it just gets rid of everything that has to evolve.
Yeah, but I do think that the restriction that Sableye already has is pretty, pretty sweet. Like getting 10 cards in your loss zone, especially since Net rotates. I think with Net it felt a bit too turbo to just get 10 in your loss zone on turn 3 every time. But I feel like the restriction that it does have Like, I don't think it's that unhealthy to have people play Chorus and Comfy in their decks. I actually really like the fact that the Comfy and Chorus cards are so crucial, and the, like, decision making is so I guess difficult in a way. I would much rather lose against a Sebai that had to like make actual decisions than ADP attaching a water and a metal and not seeing alter creation.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
it's kind of, and also the Lost Mine attack itself also is pretty sick, actually. That's the way you actually have to spread out. I really like Dragapult VMAX as well. You actually can like set up damage in a lot of different ways. So even though, like, say, like, to me, it's like such a what do you say, like, conundrum. Is it actually is it actually unhealthy? But it's also like the way the Lawson engine works really cool. The attack itself is like very pretty skillful, I would say. It becomes even more interesting when you have cards like Cresselia and the healing item as well, that makes like the way you put the damage like even more like skill testing. I guess with Net rotating, it does become a bit less. Because with when Net was around, like, that was the one thing I did like about Net. It also makes Sableye like really interesting how you put it. Because if you commit too much on one thing, they might net it, or they might not have enough nets, or they might have used their nets in more aggressive fashion and they don't have them left. Like, it actually makes some. It does make games feel more unique and less the same when there's Sableye and Lossman involved, like the Lossman engine involved. So I wouldn't say that Sableye is a card that has to leave to make the game more interesting. It, in some ways, it does make the game more interesting. But on the other hand, it kind of makes like 80% of cards that are printed irrelevant.
I think it's balanced like very well for like the highest power level of decks. Like, it's balanced well against Lugia, and like in the current format, it's sort of like it's in the spot it needs to be against like the big decks, but it sort of accidentally deletes all the counter decks that could exist, so it creates like more skillful gameplay as like a good deck than probably anything else. I don't think people would disagree that like Lost Box is the hardest like good deck to play right now, and probably next format as well. If we're just looking at like the main meta decks right now, like Sableye fits in really well with those, like in terms of a game design perspective. I think it creates a lot of skill, and yeah, it's just unfortunate that it kind of ruins some other ideas, but...
Yeah, I think the real game design mistake that has been, like, that kind of causes this problem is the fact that they don't give the evolving basics, like, anywhere near the same HP as the other power creep. Like, the fact that Level Ball is even, like, a card that, like... Why does Ralts even have 60 HP?
It makes no sense. Yeah, it should have 120 or something.
Yeah, I've thought it for like I remember like having this conversation, I think like 3 years ago. People just like, why does my basic have 60 HP when this tech team has like... It also is ridiculous that Curlia has 80 HP and it evolves into 310 HP guard.
Magic for some reason, like, from 30 HP to 300 HP and
The power creep is not even like that big of a deal, right? If all the numbers kind of increase in the same fashion, I guess sometimes it makes like weakness a bit too important as the modifier. But the fact that they kind of didn't power creep the HP of the evolving, like the simple bait, like the Ralts and the Charmanders and Squirtles and Bulbasaurs, those are just 60, 70 HP Pokemon. That kind of, I don't know exactly why.
And that's one where I don't know if we're ever going to get an answer for why, because the big stuff, like you said, makes sense.
An N2 pricer can have 280 HP. Why doesn't a simple basic? I think it might be because the card is more recognizable for casual players. Like a 60 HP Charmander that does scratch for 10 and Ember for 20, and just has 60 HP. Just it's like a recognizable card to open in a pack. I think that might honestly be the reason. I don't know. because from a balancing perspective, because Sableye needs to do 120. They can't print Lost Mine and let it do 90, because then against cards like Miraidon, which has 220 HP, and against Lugia, and against like every you know, like good card that has been kind of like the numbers have actually increased. The Lost Mine attack needs to kind of, for balancing purposes, do enough damage to actually threaten them. But then the basics are so low HP that they get completely mauled. And I feel like they should, like, so in a way, the Sableye attack isn't even the real problem. It's just that the basics should have way more HP. And the Gurdias as well, all the evolving.
There's also like a side effect right now that I think we're past the point where there'll ever be like a good, like, universal spread attack anymore, like Tapu Koko promo. Like, we can't have that if there's evolving basics, because they have 60 HP. And Koko would need to do like 50 damage spread to have a chance against the 320 HP.
Yeah, against the
Arceus.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, the mismatch has become bigger and bigger and bigger between the how low HP basic evolving basic. But I feel like this is gonna be an issue, because the new EXs aren't like the V stars. It's not an Arceus V which has 220, which evolves into a V star with 280. It's all like a Banette with 60 HP evolving into a Banette EX. Mm-hmm. So this issue that has been around for years now is kind of getting the spotlight. So I feel like, I don't know. I think I feel like if I was in the card designing team, I would maybe think this over again. But there's also level on the format, so they can't even really, you know, it's also really awkward to actually have 100 HP, because you miss out on one of the better ball switch cards. The level ball should also be increased in HP.
They sort of need to, like, maybe take an approach like back in the original EX lowercase days, where they'd print like a bunch of cards that would help like non-EXs, but just do that based on HP now. So like have some advantage for your 60 HP thing, that, like, I don't know, print like a silver mirror type card, which says it can't be knocked out by something with like 200 more HP than itself. I don't know. There's a lot of like things they could do, but will they do it? Probably not. We'll see. I can't complain against about game design anymore, though, because Iona is too good.
I know. It's too good. That card is quite good.
I'm a fan of Iona, but wrong set. So
This, as a kind of aside, like, this kind of feels like Sun and Moon, whereas the Sun and Moon base set had some interesting cards, but actually the couple sets after it, Guardians Rising and Burning Shadows, actually were way more impactful and had way more like meta-defining cards. I kind of feel like it's going to be a bit similar, where this base set has some good cards and some, of course, some relevant ball search and relevant supporters. But I think the next set is going to really shake up the meta, maybe even more. Of course, also rotation really shakes up the meta. It really changes a lot, of course. So it will change enough.
But I think that would be the optimal. Well, I guess less so for you, I guess. EUIC shaking up a little less is not the dream. But them shaking up at NAIC, and then hopefully the world set is also going to be, like you said, Burning Shadows, right? Of like Guzma and Gardy GX and Galissapod. For better or worse,
that is going to be the NAIC set.
Yeah, I don't know. Most likely. I don't really know the release schedule, but I think
they have like world threats. I think they're only the set that comes out after is like their it's called like Pokemon card 151.
Oh, it's like a Pogo sized. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it might be like a bigger set than Pokemon Go, but I don't think it can release like soon enough. Because we're basically sort of at a point where we get like 2 month releases, because we're kind of catching up, because Crown Zenith didn't exist in Japan. It's kind of like a bunch of random cards that they haven't printed yet. They have to all jam them all into a set. So we're like a month or two behind now. So if they release a set every 2 months, which is what I think they're doing, like the 151 set wouldn't release before. Needed to before it becomes legal for Worlds. So I think we'll just have, but I think that's also probably pretty fine, because we'll have NAIC as the only tournament before Worlds in that format. And it'd be kind of a shame to only have like literally one tournament in the format. So having Worlds there as well is, I think, a good thing.
I do have to say that would have been disappointing if Worlds was the only one in the current format, because I played Radiant Charizard to Worlds with Inteleon, and that deck was so much fun. And the fact that there was able, you know, Piper was able to win Baltimore with that same deck was the, like, it's fun when you get to play more than one for a set, right? Because, like, it's cool to see these decks that came out of nowhere. Like, oh, this is actually a real deck. Anyway, away from game design, or probably back to game design, because we're going to talk about Maraidon EX next. And Maraidon, I was going to point out the ability for anyone who doesn't know. If you're on YouTube, I am also putting the cards on the screen. But Maraidon has that tandem unit ability that is absolutely disgusting. Pokemon anywhere, search your deck for two lightning Pokemon, which could also be another Maraidon. And so, you know, one single Nest Ball turns into a full bench of lightning Pokemon. But it also only has one attack for lightning colorless, 220. Is this a card that is sparking interest, desire? Is this an absolutely broken card, or is this just like, oh, they printed a big basic and it's not that impressive?
I think the problem is that it's not a very big basic. It's got 220 HP, which is not very good. As crazy as that is to say, like, Maraidon can do, has 220 HP, you can attack on the first turn, and after the first turn, you can put a bunch of Regieleki's in play and do like 280 damage. But even if you did infinite damage, being a two prizer with 220 HP is still a pretty big drawback. Especially the way, like, the Maraidon, like, Regieleki decks are, like, constructed, they just don't do well against single prizers that can one-shot the Maraidon and, like, play ropes so they can get around the Regieleki effect. It's a glass cannon deck where I think it's just a bit too, like, yeah, it doesn't, like, it's, there's only one thing you can do, sort of. Like, I guess against Lost Box, you have, like, the hidden run into Klefki thing. But aside from that, it's a pretty, like, linear two prize, like, whack as hard as you can deck. But, and that's just not very good right now, I'd say.
It's feels like, to me, it's like a bad recreation of Buzzrock. In the sense of, you have the big basic, you have the max elixir via the generator, you have the obvious synergy with the evolving Pokemon in the Lecky VMAX, and then you have the quote-unquote Brooklet Hill, except the issue is there's no Octillery, right? So you have the Maraidon, can't grab you, your support Pokemon, and there's no Jet Punch. And it's like missing these things that it otherwise would have had. Xander.
Yeah, and Buzzrock also was pretty good because of the weakness that it hits. It hits so hard for weakness, which made it really relevant. Mm-hmm. Maraidon actually has a really awkward weakness that it shares with one of the cards that's kind of going to make probably a comeback, Arceus. Having a fighting weakness, and I mean, in general, sharing a weakness with another tier one deck. I mean, I think Arceus is going to be a tier 1.5.
Meta deck, right? Something good.
Yeah, Arceus was just really bad into the current Lugia because you can't really. Lugia was way too strong for your 200 and accelerates. Yeah, made Arceus look fair. Lugia.
Lose the coin.
So Miraidon doesn't really hit the relevant weakness, and having fighting weakness, what makes it also. And the fact that Galarian Zapdos can just one shot it, and Galarian Zapdos with Sky Seal Stone can even one shot Regieleki for 4 prizes. If it ever comes to that, kind of makes you have to, like, even trading into Krems and Xewise is already not great. And then also having 3 prizers that actually are 4 prizers on your bench means that you need this, like, you would, I do actually, like, looking at the card is, the effect is actually, it is very, very powerful. And in some ways, I do think that this card was also really meant to be really strong. Mm-hmm. It's like the legendary of the set. They gave us the new Max Elixir. Max Elixir has been a pretty powerful card. Just looking at the way they designed this, I do think they wanted it to be quite strong. But yeah, trading against one prizers and the weakness that you share with Arceus and making Galarian Zapdos kind of strong against you.
It reminds me more of than Buzzrock, the like Darkrai EX, like dragons with the Hoopa EX to get all your things in play. It's like if that deck, like that deck was really bad in like the 2016 format where we had a bunch of good one prizers, and then it was good after all the one prizers rotated. Turn one item lock was also an issue for it, but I think like it's like that deck, like Darkrai became good, like the Max Elixir spam deck became good once all the one prizers rotated, and it was just a beat stick. But just Moridon's like that deck where it's slightly better against one prizes, but not enough to make it like a tier one deck. I think it's like probably tier two at best.
The ability is pretty strong, and you can get any lightning Pokemon. So I guess there you can attack with Regieleki, and you're also empower any lightning Pokemon with the VMAX. I think I've also heard people talk about playing Luxray V.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have multiple Elekis and you can play multiple Judge, because you set up really easily with Miraidon, so you can make all of this work somewhat consistently. You can actually attack with Luxray and take prizes against Comfies, and you just judge KO Comfy, take out their best trainer. I guess it's another thing that people are trying, but you have to kind of jump through some hoops, and like your generic strategy, it just isn't strong against Lossenbox, and Lossenbox kind of seems to be the best deck. And you also, I'm not sure how strong you are against Gardevoir, for example. I guess you can also try to...
It's
you can
really also, bad guess, against Gardevoir.
So you really don't match up well into the meta. I guess one thing I do have to mention about Miraidon, and this is something I realized after looking at the Japanese list, Dioga V-Star, the super crazy Dioga V-Star with the
Magnemite. Yes, I was going to bring it up. Yes.
It played the Miraidon just to get the Magnemites, and it also played
and
the
Rotom. Rotom. Yeah.
And Rotom. So actually, I think Miraidon might be playable in control as well, because you can also play Luxray. It's a pretty good card, especially with Penny. Mm-hmm. You can get Luxray and Rotom on turn one, which is pretty efficient. And there are some other lightning types. Regieleki is one of the good control cards. And Regieleki is also good with Penny against 110 and 120 of Sewai. Miraidon might actually be completely like a very playable card. As well, get Rotom, Regieleki.
I think if they print like something to stop Sableye, like Miraidon immediately becomes a much better card, like as a support Pokemon. Like Flaffy is like a very strong deck if you can't get rid of the basics. Like it trades, like it can play as a single prizer deck. Pretty easily, and then same with like the Magnezone Dialga deck. I've been actually watching that, like somebody, like a Japanese like YouTube channel had posted that like 2 months ago, and it like didn't do anything since, and then immediately top 16 did the Singapore thing, I think it was. So
it was
that's a pretty cool deck.
Thailand, I want to say Taiwan and Thailand were the same weekend. And Jeff, I'm sorry, because I know you're listening to this and you're going to make fun of me for it, but I forget which one it was. Anyway, yeah.
I'm not sure which one, but yeah, it's like it's a very interesting deck. I don't think playing 20 energies is inherently that good, but it's a cool deck when it works.
Bro, don't. I need you to encourage me to play this at my 1K next weekend. Tell me Dialga's good.
If Dialga, like if the Magnezone was like a Blastoise, like Deluge, then it'd be a really cool deck. But I don't think, like, looking at the top six cards of your deck, forcing you to play 20 energies is really bad.
Yeah, that's like a good example of a stage two that isn't. Max Elixir is not really enough.
That's valid. I don't want to accept it, but that's valid.
I mean, Dioga, I guess there will be, I think there might be a bit less Radiant Sword because it isn't played in Lugia anymore. So but I guess Radiant Sword really wasn't even the real problem.
And it definitely hurt, but Lost Box is definitely on Greninja now, like exclusively, which is probably correct.
There's just no good way to get the energies on it. Like, it's like, Mirage Gate is like pretty weak when you're like, it just always seemed like so. Like, if you hit exactly what you need, Dialga is ridiculous. You take extra turns, you do like 280 damage with your attack after that, and then like, but if you can't set up and like every deck in the format is trying to kill your setup, it's like, yeah, if it can set up, it's very good, but after that, like if it can't, which is most of the games, I'd say.
And it also loses Saucer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true as well.
You kind of have to play like this. I guess you could do the Exodia stuff with draw your whole deck, have to Shining Ancrana and Guardies.
Yeah.
But why aren't you playing Gardevoir EX Rats? It's not even better.
We just have to put them both in the same deck. You play into Dialga and Gardevoir. I don't know.
No, I'm in. We're definitely playing that. Next card I want to talk about, and we already mentioned it a little bit, is arguably the best supporter to come out of this set. Penny might be better, but Arvin is a little more like universal. Let's ignore the research reprint. What are our thoughts? Arvin, search your deck for a item and a tool card, because tools are no longer items, and put them into your hand. Is this gonna be as much of a staple as we've seen from Japanese lists? It's finding a room in most like non-Mew, non-Lost Box decks. It's finding a place in there. Is this card as good as that appears to be, or is this throwing a random one of supporters into deck? Sander, what do you think about Arvin?
I think it's good, definitely good enough to see play. I think it has even, I've seen lists, Mew lists have one Arvin. We kind of talked about this before. I don't think it's as good as like a card like Irida, because having multiple Arvins becomes a bit less impressive. Like the second and third Arvin are way less than your first Arvin, because it really spikes hard with Forced Seal Stone. It also is pretty good with VIP boss, which with losing Quick Ball, VIP boss is in a decent amount of decks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Arvin just in general, it's getting to pick out just an item and basically anything. If you're the decks with Forest Seal Stone really can abuse it a lot, because you just get one amazing supporter and then your second Arvin is still fine. If you play the Courier engine, for example, like Gardevoir does, you probably discard your second Arvin with Courier anyway. But just getting that one kind of kickstart to kind of just get double VIP boss, get four basics, is a pretty strong effect. And it also makes it playing the like any one-off item or one-off tool way more valid. So it's pretty nice that you have a supporter that's really strong in the early game and also got specific cards in the mid game. So yeah, I definitely don't think it's a fluke. Mm-hmm. I don't think, because Lost Sandbox decks really don't want to play it. I guess we won't see it like an insane amount, because I feel like a good portion of the format will be Lost Sand decks. I also think like decks like Arceus probably also are not going to want to play it, because you already have Starburst anyway. So, and I guess like any deck that has like a V-Star that isn't Forest Sealstone, it also is way less appealing. So it definitely is kind of bound to certain archetypes. But on surface value, it's not a bad supporter at all.
Jake, thoughts?
Yeah, not as good as Irida, which is kind of a similar card. I don't think it will be like a card that you'd see four ops. I guess there was a deck that actually played your four, which is just looks not exact.
Yeah, I think Arvin's like a very good like game design. I'd say it's not like overpowered. It favors decks that like it favors helping decks set up, which I think is pretty good. Like it's much more powerful like on the first turn of the game, which I think is like. Or like the first one you use, which is usually the first turn of the game. It like sort of gives you a reason to play the card, because like if it couldn't get VIP pass turn one, it'd be like much weaker. Mm-hmm. But because it has that, I think it's a pretty strong card, and it'll see play. Like as we get more and more stage two like decks, I think it'll see a lot of play with those, because yeah, even if you don't use it, like turn one, you can use it to get all your basics. But and then after that, you can grab like the Forest Stone plus Rare Candy and just get a stage two up like in one card gets your stage two. So I think it definitely like it's a very good card to get a hold of, and it'll help the right decks that need help right now. I don't think there's enough of those decks. Like, and their Lost Box matchups are all sketchy. I've seen this also played in like the Marinon Regieleki deck more. Like, I'm not actually. I think that's where I've seen it most. But I think it's actually pretty like mediocre in there because like you need to be doing more. I think like that deck struggles with getting energies. Like, and Arvin's not getting you your attachment for the turn. Like, it gets you one of the generators, but if you're not, like, attaching also, it's pretty weak in that deck. I think, like, Maridon Regieleki, like, that deck should probably like, most people play, like, one Raihan in there, but I think Raihan is kind of the supporter you want to be playing most of the turns. Like, Raihan or, like, Judge or something, rather than Arvin. But I think the card will see a lot more play than it, like in future formats. So it's like an important card to add to like the list of things that you should consider for a deck.
Yeah, if we ever get like, hopefully we don't, but like a Floatstone reprint or something, some like really strong tool beyond the Forest Seal Stone, that would be probably a pretty big boost.
Yeah, the tool is kind of the part that kind of falls off kind of quickly. It's also usually not that great. Like, tools don't really gain value if you have multiples. If you have like a post-band in hand, having an Arvin, if you're like don't have your first seal stone or you already use it, it's like not really too much relevant stuff you can really find. Like, item is always going to be good to find, but the tool part is kind of that might be better or worse depending on your deck or the situation. So it definitely is. If you get better tools, the card also will be seen.
Yeah, I sort of think of it as like a Bridget, but there's like more reasons to play it. It's like weaker turn one, but it's like there's a reason that you should play it after that. Where like, yeah, like decks that need lots of basics turn one. Like if we, I think one of the problems also is that like you don't want to play Lumineon in anything because it's got such low HP compared to something like. Like, even though it has the same HP as Tapu Lele, like 70 or 170 wasn't what
power
it was.
Creep.
So if you had a way to search for this as well, like when you needed it, it'd be a lot better too. You could just play one and then immediately get it turn one. And then it's still strong with Lumineon because that's your like V that you use the Forest Stone on. But I think there it's like sort of it's a weird card where it's like the. On the Forest Stone turn, it's much more powerful than it is the rest of the game. But it'd be too broken if it didn't use up your V-Star power to get like an effect that strong.
Yeah.
I also think your minion will see it's a bit harder to use without Quick Ball in general.
Yeah.
Like you have to play a deck with Ultra Ball and then you only have like four Ultra Ball and maybe one or two Luminion, which is way less outs than having four Quick Ball or Ultra Ball. So I guess Luminion. The Lumineon kind of being, I mean, we do. You would think there's going to be less decks that have like a very mixed supporter count. But on the other hand, we have seen like the Cardiff decks that have like 8 different supporters. So, but yeah, Lumineon does seem a bit worse, which also makes a specific supporter like Arvin, I guess, a bit worse as well.
Also, to add one more to the Irida that I don't think was mentioned specifically of like Irida versus Arvin. The turn one Irida for like VIP pass, turn one Arvin for VIP pass are both about equal, but being able to grab the Greninja as well with the Irida is incredibly good for most decks, right? Gardevoir plays a bunch of energy and wants them in the discard pile. Maridon plays a bunch of energies, doesn't really want them in the discard pile, but would rather draw two cards. And then Manaphy existing for opposing Greninjas is also like, kind of a plus of like it's more Bridget given the fact that there's so many good water Pokemon. There's two, but they're very good water Pokemon specifically.
Yeah, and next set there'll be a lot better once we get more, but that's talk about later. Although yeah. One thing I just realized, like a way that you can think about Arvin that is pretty interesting is sort of like if you play it turn one to get VIP pass Forest Stone, like you don't have to use the Forest Stone right away. So it's sort of like the supporter has like a delayed effect that you can use like on turn two, which is pretty interesting. Like it sort of sets up your turn one and turn two if you don't have to use the Forest Stone turn one, which is pretty unique, but I don't know if that, how much of a difference that makes.
Next card I want to talk about, and the last like big one to me, there's also like Beach Court's cool, but whatever. But the big one that I think could be meta defining or maybe not is the Klefki with the Mischievous Lock ability. All basic Pokemon in play don't have an ability except for Mischievous Lock on Klefki. Sander, this screams you. Is Quad Klefki the new Quad Wob? Is this going to win a regional?
Has Quad Wob won a regional? I've definitely played Quad Wob Fett. I've actually played Quad Wob Fett, Wob Fett Break.
What did Grant, Jake, you know this. What did Grant get with Quad Wob? Was it second or top four?
He lost to the Lapras deck.
He lost to Lapras.
Yeah.
Okay, so second. Is this going to get second and lose to Quad Lapras?
Well, I mean, just looking at the card, it's a super strong effect, right? It's basically Silent Lab on a basic, which is also really meta-defining cards. But on the other hand, you have to get it into the active, and it has a really low HP, 70 HP. And I think we have already kind of, because we see the Japanese and the other Asian countries see their results, we've already kind of seen that it is not, it's kind of not the way that people build their decks, because it has kind of already been proven that it's kind of the drawback of having a 70 HP Klefki can be pretty massive against the decks that you're actually trying to target. If you play against a Sableye deck and they do get enough cards into the Lost Zone, it's really bad to have these in play. It's really bad against a Ninja if they can even bust your Manaphy and still get the snipe, bust the Klefki and still get the snipe regardless of your Manaphy. And without Nets, committing bench space to the Klefkis, and since you kind of need to, because of Escape Hope, kind of eats up like a third of your bench space having two Klefkis. And in basically any deck that is pretty, especially if you're trying to use this as a hedge against Lilson Box, because you're like a setup deck, like Gardevoir, like you're going to have way less space for Kirlias or your Ninja or other stuff. And without Nets, you can't really get these out of play. They can be liabilities in multiple ways later. And yeah, like I said, you need two of these, and you, I guess you wouldn't even bench a Greninja if you play these, because you can't even use your own Greninja. So there's definitely, I actually think that this card, there's a lot going on with this card, even though the text is, I mean, the text isn't that simple, but there's a lot of interactions, a lot of upsides, a lot of downsides. I think it's really, since this attack is, the attack that Klefki has is pretty, it pretty much doesn't have an attack. It would be a lot better if you have some hit and run effect to actually get good value, like which is something that Miraidon has tried with Regieleki. I guess if you have some other kind of effect to actually take good advantage of the fact that you have this Klefki sitting in the active, it'd be pretty amazing. But you can't, of course, like if you were to play something like a Quad Klefki, you can't use Rotom to draw cards or some other turn-ending effects. One card that I think kind of combines nicely with Klefki is a very, I guess, quote-unquote bad supporter from this set, which is Katie, which is shuffle draw 8 and your turn ends, which is not a very, I mean, I don't even think it's that bad. It's kind of similar to Blue's Tactics. I played Blue's Tactics at Worlds. I went 6-1 with that card in my deck. So, I mean, shuffle draw 8 on KT is in a control deck where you don't really care about losing your attack. It's pretty very efficient card draw. And it's really good to not lose your cards. And it combines kind of nicely with Klefki. You just have some Klefkis in the active and you shuffle draw 8. And you actually turn off your opponent's minion if they play it, so they can't even easily find Judge to disrupt your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in general, like in like Klefki, it's a weird one, because if people don't respect it, it can also really, you know, if you look at it and it lines up really well against some of the tier one decks as well. Like the fact is really disruptive if people don't have the proper out to it. So I think it definitely will impact the meta at some point.
I think it's sort of like like a trap into how you think about it. It's like sort of a like a almost like a testing time waster trap, I'd say, because like you can think about like if you just think about it at the start of the game, like it completely shuts down Lost Box, makes them like fall a couple turns behind, which is ridiculously powerful. And if you stop thinking about it there, it's really good. But then when you think about the rest of the game, you realize that it speeds up their like win condition for the rest of the game. They can they just get rid of it with Disableyes. Like if they play Howlucha as well, they can one-shot both of them with a Sableye. Mm-hmm. They can also use Greninja, like we mentioned. So it compresses Lost Box's like game plan to the very end of the game, which could be something useful for certain decks. But like that is a downside that like maybe a deck like an evolving basic deck in the future will like a stage one deck, stage one EX deck. Like would really like this card because once you get all your all your basics evolved into stage ones, you don't really care that the Sableye is taking two prize cards because they're not wiping out your attackers. But as for like right now, the only like evolving EX deck which is really great is the Gardevoir EX, and that wants to leave Kirlia's unevolved, wants to play Greninja, needs like Manaphy as well, all these things where. The Klefki, it's sort of like if you let Sableye, like the Klefki is sort of a card where it delays Sableye, but it makes Sableye so much more powerful. And if your opponent can win by using repeated Sableyes still, then Klefki is like not doing its job. Klefki like buys the time, but it just doesn't stop. It just delays the inevitable, basically.
Yeah, you really would need to have some, you know, intricate strategy built around like just playing it, like you said, like just as a, you know, generic road bump. I think it hurts you more than it helps you. But if you have, I mean, we don't really have anything from what I have seen that really can abuse Klefki. But like, for example, like the Primal Groundman deck that played four Wobba Fetts, you basically just gave up Wobba Fetts and used Tropical Beach until you have like this one sweeper ready. There's not really anything similar. If you had something that actually kind of wants to play in that fashion where you kind of can build something, you would kind of need something that is invulnerable to Lost Mine and just build it on the bench while you pick up your Klefkis. That could be, I guess, some way. But yeah, the Wobba Fett, which is somewhat of a similar card, when you played like the Quad Wobba Fett deck, it was really important that you could actually tank hits. Like, for example, when I played the Wobba Fett Break, which you only played for the HP, and you played it, Fighting Fury Belt was in the format, which actually gives more HP, but there was also Garbler, so people played before Field Blowers in decks. So we just played Wobba Fett Break as like an HP buff that couldn't get blowered. Like the 140 HP survived Soho Arc, it survived Bulu, the 120, it survived Gallades, it survived... what's the card? Volcanion EX that did 130 and had the ability to buff itself, but it couldn't buff itself under
the Wob.
The Wob block.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cards in that format specifically hit 120 or 130. So having the HP on your ability lock to actually tank hits was crucial in like a deck built completely around that card. And you definitely cannot use Klefki that way. You can only really. Using it like when you're setting up something in the back, it can be really, scary because the Klefki can be a huge liability, and we don't have a card like Primal Groundon that like naturally fits really well with this kind of like Klefki game plan.
Yeah, you don't have something you can't right gust.
Now, yeah, something had, you like... can't gust or can't lost mind because even if you couldn't gust it, you could. I guess sprinkle it with Lost Mine.
That's true. We have no sparkling robe in format. Was that the thing that prevented?
That removes special conditions.
Okay. There was the tool that would prevent damage counters or effects of attacks, right?
That's Ben Spoon, right?
Yeah, there we go. There's no spoon in format.
I mean, you could technically play Quad Klefki and try to set up like quad set up a V Union in your discard because the V Union is like the nice thing about V Unions always was they. You are kind of working towards something, but it's not impossible. Like you are drawing through your deck and preparing a Mewtwo or any other fee union, but they can never be targeted until you actually, you know, have everything set in place. So I guess in that sense, maybe a card like that.
See, now we're cooking. You rescue carrier, the Klefki's back, and this is broken.
But on the in the same vein, I don't think any of the fee unions are great right now. The weaknesses are a pretty
good one. Loses to Drapion, which is in everything.
Yeah.
Mirage Gate Drapion is pretty good.
Klefki would be like a lot better again if we had Scoop Up Net, because you could just remove them from play after you're done. But yeah, losing Scoop Up Net changes like everything.
It's also if you're playing these Klefkis to like stop your opponent turn one, that's not even gonna work all of the time. Like if you whiff your Klefki's turn one, then you're playing this useless card because ability locking somebody on turn two is probably already a bit too late. You gave them too many comfy uses.
I've been solitaring a lot of Turbo Lost Box and Lost Zone Tina, and I will say getting the turn one Abyss Seeking or like something like that is not particularly difficult, even under Klefki lock.
That is also the other card that really makes Klefki way riskier is Abyss Seeking in Giratina, which is like a huge reason to not play Klefki in your decks. Your opponent just has it plays Tina, that you basically didn't even stop them that much. They just are pretty much in the same spots as if they weren't even comfy locked. So Giratina being like pretty viable in Lost Zone decks is also a pretty big reason to not go for the Klefki approach.
All right, I think we've beaten Klefki into the ground, and I'm glad you two agree, because every time when I said Empoleon V was bad, people called me a meta manipulator, and I'm glad that other people are calling Klefki bad, because people are going to yell at me for that too.
Inherently, it is a stronger card than Empoleon, I think, because it just actually blanket hits everything.
Yeah, hitting the Genesect is also massive.
The Genesect and Greninja, which Empoleon also didn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely the cards to actually use Klefki with are not here yet, or maybe never.
So, Jake, I know you came prepared with a list of other cards that you knew I was not going to bring up, which, I mean, not surprising, right? These are the very four obvious, like, big cards. And there's some other cool stuff that we'll probably get to. But, Jake, feed us one of those. What is the card that might not be ready yet, but it's cooking in the background?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One we can talk about, which I know you're a fan of, is the Oinkaloni X. I think this card is like a sort of a similar situation as like the Snorlax from Lost Origin, where like everybody kind of slept on the card because it doesn't have like a purpose. It's kind of just like it just has good stats, which I think is like an interesting way, like an interesting reason for a card to be good. Like Snorlax is just good because it does 180 damage. It doesn't have anything special about it. Like it has the ability, has like decent HP, does 180 damage. There's just like a few factors that combine just give it good stats. And I think Oinkaloni is like sort of in that same position where it's got pretty good stats, like 260 HP. Like a Giratina is a problem if you're trying to play this in anything without like V-Guard energies and the full face guard. I don't think that deck is that strong, but I could see this popping up in like random decks as like 1-1 or 2-2, just to like be a good early game attacker while you try and set up something in the back. Nothing can really use that right now, but it's something that could be good in the future. Just as early game hitting, and especially if the deck can play like Cheryl or something, or Sharon's Care, to sort of just use it early game, maybe get a knockout or two, and then remove it from play and go into your main strategy.
Sander, do you have any thoughts on the pig?
Specific thoughts. I mean, it is definitely the strength of the cards. Just the numbers are not bad with V cards and full face cards, I guess, and Guardi, good agent Gardevoir. I guess you can get kind of tanky. And I guess celebration and non celebrations, you've thought amazing are you've thought leave. So as long as you have enough HP, I guess you can be kind of tanky. Then, of course, especially since Lawson Box doesn't hit that high most of the time without Rayquaza anymore. On the other hand, there is Gardevoir and Giratina, which are pretty amazing at hitting high numbers. So. But yeah, seems decent. I haven't seen too many results, but it also seems like the deck, kind of like maybe like, I guess, Gudra. That's just Gudra V-Star right now that doesn't seem too, you know, appealing, but it just does the job. It is pretty efficient in what it does. The numbers are, if the numbers line up well enough, it can kind of survive and actually be pretty annoying for decks that cannot reach on it. So maybe there will be a spot at some point in the like meta-wise where the decks that Onkelong doesn't want to see are just not that prevalent. And maybe some of the better meta decks are just not great at taking into it. And at that point, it would be a pretty fine card, yeah.
The few successful versions I've seen, because it does show up occasionally as a top 8, maybe a top 4 in some of the city leagues, is they're all the same-ish list. And then that's begs the question of, is this the correct way to play Oink Alone, or is this just kind of the like, oh, I'm going to play Oink Alone and this is the one that someone else did well with, which is like, you have the pigs and then you have a small B barrel line. And then, of course, you have the like Dunsparce or Manaphy and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's a very small bench type of deck of like, I'm going to force you to go through these pigs and let's see if you've got it like that. And
I think that
I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I think that the deck, like a heavy Oink Alone deck, is just not good enough. I think you need to be doing something after you use the Oink Alone. Like, Oink Alone is a good thing to do turn two and turn three, but after that, you need something better. Mm-hmm. And right now, there isn't really that something better, but there might be eventually. I actually tried testing this with the Cherim from like Battle Styles. Because before you evolve, you can attach the grass energies to it, to the basic, and then evolve. And then you can like Sharon, attach the grass energies, put it back. But it was just a bit too inconsistent. It was a cool idea, but didn't work out. I think just like a solo Oink Alone deck is probably not good enough. But I wouldn't be surprised if to see it splashed into something as like a 1/1 or 2/2, just for something to do while a deck sets up for whatever. You could play it in that like Kyogre checkmate thing. did we talk about that on here or was it just before?
We did mention that one on here. Yeah. Or both, I guess. Yeah.
You could play it in there just for something to do while you discard your deck. And then Kyogre them at the end, but
it's definitely a card in the set. I want it to be good, but I just want to play Lechonk. Sander, do you have any other cards that you're like, we should have mentioned this one?
I mean, I think there's one card we definitely should mention, and then there's one, I guess, more sleeper card that I think is kind of interesting.
Are we gonna say Penny?
I mean, yeah. The card that I think is my favorite card from the set is definitely Penny.
This was the one we got the most questions on Twitter about for you. So
I honestly think Penny is really, really good. I think it's, I don't know, the best card in the set, but for me, it definitely is the best card. I think it's way better than Children's. The fact that you can use it with any basic. I think it's even better than Acerola, honestly. I guess Acerola is good with Soul Orc. But Penny is pretty very versatile. Super strong effect. The fact that you can use it without damage. So it's really interesting. I think I definitely think I will be playing a lot of pennies in the future.
Jake, do you have any initial thoughts on Penny?
I think, I agree that it's like a card. I think it's got very, it's another one of those cards where you have to like constantly remember it's a thing you can use. And there's like a lot of good use cases, even in decks that like aren't basic decks, like just for removing things from play, like Illuminion or whatever. I think like right now it's a bit like I can't think of really anything like any none of like the main like attacking decks want to play it because they're
I'm not thinking about the deck.
Yeah, I know you're thinking about the other decks. I think it's a card that could it's like a hard card to see. Like I it's one of those cards where like I think I just don't have enough information right now, honestly, is that it's a card where I think I need to see. It's got a high like ceiling of what it can do, but also like a very low like it's not a very like obviously high power card unless you're using it with something that like
I think it's a very obvious high power card, but it's just very unclear like because you can use it with anything. I think like Acerola also was obviously a very high power card. Basically solo arc with Acerola dominated the formats.
The difference for me is that just the all of the like the sort of HP range of all the basics is like you can't be tanky with most basics.
I think you can be pretty tanky with a couple of basics.
With a couple,
you can be surprisingly tanky.
Arcanine.
There's definitely some cards that that's a pretty ridiculous amount of HP.
Do we get the Cape of Toughness reprint in this set, or is that the next one?
No.
That's the next one? Okay, cool. Anyway, go for it.
So, we don't have that one. We do get the fighting reduction cards, and we have Go Metal. You can play Lake, the Lake.
Lake Acuity.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
There's some tanking. I guess there's also Guillotine and Gardevoir, but I think the real strength of Penny is the fact, unlike Chirons, that Penny, if you play like a, you can basically have a deck with, I guess now I'm really talking about something control or like defensive or something like that. You can have like 8 different basics and all of them can work well with Penny. I think that's the real strength. Because I've played Chirons before, but then you had like a couple cards that are fine with Chirons, like Mill Tank, Hidden with Cape was really good against like Arceus and Arctura with Chirons. There were some cards that are fine with Chirons, but the fact that you can like your Yveltal with a pot helmet doesn't die to Archeops anymore, and you can penny it. Actually, you can cloak them like a couple times and put it back into your hand. Pretty amazing. You can Luxray, put it back into your hand later. You can force Steelstem somewhere, then put it back into your hand, attach a different tool. There's some cards that are super strong with it, like Mimikyu. There's a Luna that gets -30 by itself. That's like V-guard it and give it the reduction tool with the fighting. It basically has like -90 with like a couple cards. And then you can heal it. You have Lake Acuity, which makes things more tanky. And Regieleki is also pretty good.
130 is a good number.
And yeah, I mean, there's like the versatility is what makes it, I think. Because all of these cards, if they had just the support that could only heal them, I think it would be like it wouldn't be good enough against a wider meta. But the fact that all of these cards work with the same one supporter really makes it quite versatile. And then if you play against like a certain matchup like Gardevoir or Giratina and a defensive strategy isn't going to work, you can just play a different game plan for those kind of matchups.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I think. I mean, this is also really, I think, always really tricky because if you look at the results from Japan, even in Japan, we have seen, surprisingly enough, a Quad Snorlax deck sort of well. But you definitely do not see the super defensive control decks that are like completely all in on this like attrition war, like a resource game instead of a price race game. Like these decks do not get results like ever in the best of one. format. So of course, this, if you purely look at results, you're always gonna kind of undervalue how good a new card is. And we don't have an insane amount of good control cards currently. And one of the better ones, Guttermind, is gonna rotate. But I definitely think Penny is pretty amazing. So yeah, definitely looking forward to Penny.
Since you brought it up, now we will get another card from you, Jake. Don't worry, because I want to know more. But since you brought it up now, I want to bring it up because this is one that I know people are going to yell at if we don't. We've seen one control deck come out of Japanese tournaments, and it's Quad Snorlax, but it's not literally just Quad Snorlax. There's also Drapion and Zapdos. And yeah, you can take prizes.
That's some attackers. Is this actually for Sky Seal Stone to take 4 prizes? I think that's how it wins against Regieleki. Just Zapdos twice. Against the Miraidon deck, it's really silly. It's just Clara, Zapdos, and Sky Seal Stone, and I guess you'll just win against... I guess the Miraidon deck can kind of play around it maybe as well, but...
So
yeah, that deck looked really pretty interesting. I'm not sure that's the exact thing I'm looking at, but one of the things that definitely is pretty strong when Scoopnet rotates is the fact that these trap lock cards, especially Lock Snorlax, mm-hmm. or like any effect that trap locks something, is way more potent. Combined with the fact that Lugia doesn't have rainbow energies, so Lugia actually can't attack with all the cards they have in their deck anymore. So cards like Lumineon and Dunsparce, if you couldn't trap a Dunsparce because of powerful energy. But if you have both helmets, you can trap Dunsparce, you can trap Manaphy. Manaphy, of course, can't attack. You can throw Pumpkaboo. You can trap Lumineon. There's a lot of cards in Lugia that can't attack anymore. And Gardevoir has some cards that they start with it, they basically lose because if they play on switching cards. Like that's and Lossom Box also you play like at least 8 switching cards, so you have enough switches.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the strategy was to trap Comfies. I don't think that really works enough of the time. Because Snorlax, it kind of doesn't have enough HP. Like 150, I don't think that's high enough. But yeah, I think there definitely is something there. The fact that it did kind of well. And you have some, and I think the deck is pretty cool. It plays like a really high Arven count, and which makes it pretty consistent because it's a great turn one supporter, but you also get this benefit of this toolbox that you get from your item search later with your Arven, which is really valuable to a reactive deck with a lot of different deck cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had the Rotom, which is pretty strong, especially since you have the Rotom V-Star, which the V-Star from the Rotom is kind of nice, especially against the Lossom Box. You draw like 9 cards with the Rotom, and then you V-Star and you discard like all your irrelevant techs and draw 8 new cards. You are pretty consistent at getting whatever strategy you want to actually pull it off.
And you of course have the camo poncho, which is incredibly good for the
camo poncho. Yeah, yeah. And if you don't evolve it in the V-Star, you can, I guess, penny it if they don't target it quick enough. And then you had some attackers in it, which was the Zapdos and the Drapion, I guess, from Mew. And I guess you can also play Radiant Swords. You do kind of have to play a weird energy mix because we don't have the Luminous energy yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can also play some attackers. I actually played a Quad Snorlax deck in one of the regionals, Warsaw. And I played Radiant Sword for the Giratina because back then it was a bit easier because we had Cape. So Cape is way better on Snorlax than Bolt Helmet because the Shred still chaos Snorlax, and with Cape of Toughness, Snorlax was tanky against... Because the Giratina V-Star is really bad against control.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giratina V-Basic is really great because it does just 160 every turn and it kills anything. But using the 280 attack and that loss on 2 of your energies is, against one prize here is pretty terrible. But the V, the basic V, is pretty great. But you can actually just kill it with Zard and just get rid of it. And Zard is also pretty solid with Penny. You need some kind of response. I guess you can Greninja, Mirage Gate. That does have weakness. But yeah, the deck is it's like, I guess, one of the ways to go about it. I guess in best of one, you also have this cheese factor, where if your opponent just benches the wrong thing, you'll instant win. So I guess it also definitely helps.
Yeah. One of those things in best of three, once they figure it out, they can scoop and force a tie, potentially.
Yeah, if that's like the only way you can win against a certain matchup is if you trap something, then it's kind of very risky in best of three.
Jake, can you feed us another card?
Sure. One that I've got a bunch that we can talk about that are just things to watch out for, which are like cards that definitely won't be good like immediately, but in the future will be. One of them is the Indeedee. For one colorless, you can search your deck for a Pokemon that evolves from one of your bench Pokemon and put it on to evolve it. So this effect won Worlds in 2017 on Diancie in the Gardevoir GX deck. So it's obviously a strong effect, and it's also something that like a lot of V-Stars have would have definitely wanted it in the past like year or so. Like if you could evolve your Arceus V before somebody could like boss KO it with a Palkia or whatever, would have been much better. But I think it's definitely a card to watch out for. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually saw this in something like an Arceus deck or like in a Gardevoir EX deck even as an attacker, but I think you usually want like Celebration's Mew active rather than this. But yeah, something to watch out for, I'd say.
And Sander, you said you had one more sleeper card?
Yeah, I guess one card that I think is... And I don't think it's too amazing right now, but I definitely think it's somewhat interesting. Mm-hmm. Even in like one, even in a certain attacking deck, is the Toxtricity, which for two colorless, it shuffles two cards from your opponent's hand into their deck, which just so happens to line up quite well with Roxanne, just get rid of their whole hand, and has 130 HP, which is kind of relevant against Sableye and Cramorant.
Okay, so and, you're able to completely hand lock someone.
Yeah, I guess if you go like cross switchers.
Well, you said. Well, hold on, let's cook real quick. You said double turbo or twin, right? And
double turbo.
Toxtricity evolves from Fusion Strike Toxel.
Yes, this is exactly what I was
alluding
to, which I think is pretty interesting because you can play the Toxel, which is a Fusion Strike Pokemon. You can play it in Mew, just bench it, and they KO your VMAX, and you go, okay, Roxanne, soft, take out your hands. You can KO my one prizer, it's fine. And then you could just go sweeping with your Mew, with your second VMAX.
I'm in. I found my play for the 1K. No, that's that's on my list.
I mean, the thing is, so if you're attacking with Toxtricity after your first VMAX dies, you're not taking a prize, of course. Mm-hmm. So usually if you do the Roxanne path play, you are also attacking and responding on their attacker. So you're kind of advancing your own win condition by taking prizes, of course. So if you take a turn off to actually completely get rid of their hand, you are not taking prizes. If they just took a prize with an attacker, they will have it active. So they will just respond. So they draw it for their turn. And if they KO the Toxtricity, that the prize they take is also an extra card. So it's not completely without some faults either.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of depends on the prize map, because if they actually KO a VMAX and then they KO one prize here, they can finish on Genesect. But if they go Genesect, Snipe, Genesect, KO Genesect, KO Genesect, and then you can do this combo, they're giving up the one prize here is kind of irrelevant. I think it will kind of depend on how good decks can play with no hands. For example, Lugia doesn't really care about losing their hands at all once they have their Archaeopsis. So the rank doesn't really do too much.
There's also like quite a few decks which play like engine Pokemon, like yeah. Gardevoir.
Yeah, Gardevoir, it would be very unimpressive. Also, but since you don't take a prize, they don't get to promote Comfy, right, if they have their attacker active.
Especially if it's a Drapion underpath.
Yeah,
now.
It's a Drapion, you just... in the mirror, it could be if you because you can apparently Mew is upgrades with Path to the Peak itself, so you can also Path lock grow Path in as well. And it's not that like it's not that big of a commitment, I guess. It's in some ways it's better than it's only two cards. It's not as bad as a starter. It's a fusion card, and it doesn't take up your V star like Aerodactyl does.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's interesting. And then for the cards, I mean, I don't think it's super super amazing, but it is better than we've seen a lot of bad hand stripping attacks.
Luxray, like not Luxray in general, Luxray, but Luxray in Mew.
Yeah, Luxray in Mew. There's been, I mean, I think there's been like a Delcati for one colorless. You take out a random card from your opponent, or you look at their hand even and take a card.
Mm-hmm.
I think this card, this effect is actually kind of a way better rate than we have seen. Getting the second card is almost, I mean, it is literally twice as good. And the fact that it, and the fact that it works exactly with Roxanne, definitely is, you know, I don't think it's actually amazing, but there's a bit of something there. You can maybe cross-switcher their Greninja into the active, play a Spider up so they can't retreat. Then electricity, and then there's a Porygon that influences your opponent's top decks. I guess you can try to lock people out. And the 130 HP is kind of nice. You can once you evolve it, it doesn't instantly die to a lost mine either. On the other hand, all the hand lock strategies involving Roxanne are actually really bad against lost mine as well, because they can just play around the Roxanne really easily. Just they shouldn't take the third prize ever. It just should just sprinkle, so they can actually never they wouldn't ever get handled.
Point out how nonchalantly you just mentioned Lost Origins Porygon rearranging the top deck, and I didn't know this card existed.
There's also a Gothita, the basic.
I think the Gothita rotates as in Vivid Voltage. I'm pretty sure.
I know the Luna.
Gothita stays. The Luna rotates.
Moon. Yeah, that one rotates.
Oh, the Moon. Okay.
Yeah.
The Moon.
Lunatone. Yeah, Lunatone rotates. I did know that one. Huh. Okay, I'm thinking, and there's no reason for me to think about any of this stuff, because I'm not going to EYC.
One of the things I'm sad is rotating is the, like, the Clefable that puts an energy on top of your opponent's deck, because, well, at least for next set, because of the, like, you can Iono, and then there's a Grievard in this set, which, like, look at your opponent's hand and choose a supporter and put it on the bottom of their deck. So if you could, like, Clefable a bunch of energies and then force them to draw it, would have been cool, but as soon as we get more cards that, like, manipulate your opponent's top deck that aren't the supporter card, which, like, the team, I can't remember, the team star grunt. Yeah, but that's a supporter. Like, if we could play double BDL supporters card, that'd be really good.
Yeah, good search. Also, in terms of handlock, I also think that Guru, like, you couldn't really handlock with the Luna, with
the Ditto control. Yeah, I put a lot of time into that deck. You can't handlock.
Because like almost all of the decks play Oranguru, which makes it way worse. But since that card rotates, it's actually, I guess, slightly more valid. I still think it's not a winning strategy against most tier one decks. But the Toxicity is at least a bit higher quality than anything we've seen. Probably still not good enough. But
it's also easier to pull off than the Krokorok? The Sandile evolution that was, when you evolve it, you get to discard two. And then when it's knocked out, you discard two or what? Something like that, right? But it's a stage two, so it's a little worse. Like, even though it's an attack, the difference between fitting a 1-1 line with a good energy is much different than fitting a 101 line.
For sure.
I think we got all the Twitter questions in general in there, with the exception of there was one specific one that we didn't quite get to, and that was on Mimikyu stall from Boreal Plays 06. Mimikyu, Penny, you kind of mentioned this. Is this ever a real deck, or is that a cute little thing that you can pull off? Where it's like, I can do this to buy a turn, but it's definitely not a 4-penny for Mimikyu. Hope it works.
Yeah. So the 4-penny for Mimikyu for Palpat, I think it's not really something you can do. Mainly because if you look at how you actually win, because it's not an infinite loop, right? You don't have articles. It's not like you're actually gonna be able to mimic you every single turn forever. But you get you can play 10 pennies in a row and build your whole deck around playing 10 pennies in a row, and you probably can do that. The problem is, if you're actually gonna win taking prizes, it's very by using the Mimikyu attack. I guess you kind of have to use the Mimikyu attack, otherwise you're kind of weak to just getting whatever you have on your bench pulsed or save eye killed or anything like that. But if you're taking prizes, your deck becomes pretty weak against Roxanne. Because if you miss a turn, especially if you want to use the Mimikyu attack, which gets stronger the more prizes your opponent has taken. Like, let's say you let your opponent take 5 prizes, your Mimikyu now does 150, and you play 10 pennies in a row. In theory, you could technically, I guess, beat some decks. But then if they play a Roxanne and you're with your penny, then you're definitely in some trouble. The second pretty big issue, I mean, there's a couple issues, but Giratina, the Mimikyu only has 160 HP, so Giratina just KOs it. Exactly. There's no HP buffs. So you would lose against basically any deck with Giratina, which doesn't sound very appealing. Mew is also has a shred attack, so Mew also wouldn't be very beatable. And then, I guess any deck with both. Klefki is also really pretty impossible to beat, because even if your opponent doesn't hit into you, you need to reset your ability constantly. Otherwise, you're going to give up too many prizes. So if your opponent just passes with the Klefki active, you're kind of in a difficult situation. And then just decks with Judge paths are going to be kind of problematic. So the combination of those factors and the fact that you kind of... I don't think there's a great way to abuse Mimikyu besides just using its own attack. If you actually want to play something that beats decks with multiple bosses, ropes, and Lil Sun. And if you want to abuse the attack, you need to go pretty low on prizes that your opponent has taken. And then if they have like any out or any late game hand disruption, it can be a bit too risky. And if you do want to make like some Mimikyu deck work that can play 10 pennies in a row, for example, you kind of need to be pretty all in on this type of strategy. So in that sense, I think it's probably not. And I guess you also have some issues with the Tyranitar mill. So I feel like there's Roxanne is an issue, Judge is an issue, Giratina is pretty unbeatable. Tyranitar just milling you out.
Maybe. If we had like a better like hit and run V that could use like Camo Poncho, that would be pretty good. Like if Dedenne V, right? Or was, I think that's what it, or more Pico V.
Yeah, more
so
Pico.
Like 150 does. And then switch. Like, and then you can use like Camo Poncho, but then you also don't have a way to use the attack. There's like, like if we get a good like hit and run something, then it could be like a thing you put in the deck.
I don't think that, I think going completely all in on winning with Mimikyu and pennies, I think it doesn't really come together, especially if you're actually serious about it and trying to beat the meta decks. But in itself, it is kind of strong. It's Mimikyu, and as many pennies as you have, many extra turns, you just kind of get. And some decks are entirely incapable of interacting with it. It's also if like Iridon does play Luxray, they also beat it. They can just Luxray the pennies out of your hands. So it definitely has some ways that it can not work. But in itself, kind of strong combo. It's also not a lot of cards, right? It's just a basic, I guess, you need 2 Mimikyu, 1 Psychic Energies, and then as many pennies as you can get. And you kind of are invulnerable and you do some amount of damage.
You've definitely described every single meta deck as having an answer.
I mean, not every Lossan decks without
Giratina.
Lossan decks without Giratina and without Roxanne. And I mean, path without hand disruption. I mean, I don't think the Lossan books play a lot of.
There's like one or two boss, right? That's maybe one Judge, maybe one Roxanne.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
There you go. So just avoid all the Giratina law zones.
I guess you also think you win against Gardevoir. You don't take the count. Some decks can not do anything against something like that. But in general, I think it's too easy to get count, to like accidentally get count, like without the people even playing anything for the matchup. Some decks are just naturally have something built in. I think if Mimikyu had 170 HP, it would be way more appealing if she wouldn't just scoop against any deck with Giratina. But Ami has 160.
Thank you all so much for taking the time. Sander, do you have any shout outs, and where can the people find you if they want more from you?
Shout out to you for having me on.
Of course.
I guess if you want more from me, I sometimes post on Twitter. I guess that's about it.
I will say
nothing else.
Thank you so much for being on, and definitely one of the top Twitter follows. Both of you are top Twitter follows, because you will leak all the information right in front of everyone's eyes, but most people don't know what to do with it. Like, Xander, you leaked the whole Umbreon stall deck. That's the biggest one I remember. You were just like, here's the combo, and no one did anything with it except you.
Yeah, that was also, I mean, that's also, I guess, an example of the combo was really niche, and any tool jammer or tool scrapper would beat it always, or even escape up. Mm-hmm. But nobody played those cards at the time. Those three cards were just not in decks. So that made it completely playable. So I guess, and any niche combo at the right time can be somewhat strong, I guess.
And Jake, any shout outs and or where can the people find you?
I mean, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Jake K. Gearhart. You can check out pokegear.app. It's like my deck building website. I'm getting ready to set up a big update for like Scarlet and Violet, and it'll work on mobile finally. So
nice.
That'll be exciting. I got a lot of work to do to finish that up though. But yeah, you can always find me on Twitter. Don't hesitate to DM me or any questions you have. I'm always happy to talk and say hi if you see me at tournaments for sure.
Sander, you're going to EUIC, correct?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. Oh, you are as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. I feel like this is always the time when I have a good opportunity and everything changes.
Is this going to be the third IC top cut in a row?
I mean, I didn't top cut OCIC. So
that's already right. OCIC exists.
That's already impossible. But
the third new like format IC.
There we go.
I do have a better record in new formats tournaments than when everything stays the same. So we'll see. Maybe not.
So be sure if you're going to OCIC, say hi to Sander, Jake.
UIC.
Oh my gosh. Say hi to both of them. Drop them a follow on Twitter. Myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mellow_Magikarp. Follow the podcast, of course. You can ask questions, recommend guests. This episode happened because you all recommended it, and thank you so much for that, because I learned so much. And this has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.